Okay, we're starting today. Our daf is Kuf Zayin, but we're going way back to Kuf Vav Amud Aleph at the bottom. I made a good sheet today to organize things, so that we can try to get more organized this week. Okay, we started yesterday on a tangent about this Din of Rav Huna, okay, in the name of Rav. Really, it's the Din of Rav. Okay, Manali Biyadcha, and it's at the top of the sheet if you want to just look there. V'halamer Ein Lecha Biyadi Klum V'nishba'u Ba'u Edim Patur Sh'ne'emar V'lakach Ba'ala V'la Yishalem. Once they take the Shavua, they no longer have to pay Mammon. So let's just talk for 1 minute about this law. Where does it come from? So some of Farshim say it's just a very clear Gzeret HaKatuv. It says, V'lakach Ba'ala V'la Yishalem. So as soon as they take the Shavua, you no longer have to pay. Okay, remember, what does this mean? This means if you come and you say, you know, I deny a claim, and then once you make that shvua, if edim come, now if you admit yourself, you obviously have to pay. That's the whole din of Ashem Gzela. But if you don't admit, and the whole, you know, Ashem Gzela, not just Gzela, all the cases, if Pikadon, etc. But if you don't admit and edim come, then Rav says, once the edim come, it's irrelevant, those edim. So it seemed very strange what we talked about yesterday. I looked up a bunch of different interpretations as to why this is. One is to say very simply, Gzerat HaKatuv Emela. So that's what the Pasuk says. Again, it all depends on how you understand the Pasuk. But those who understand it that way would say that's what it is. Another option, the Chazon Ish says that it's all about the Kiyum Hadin. Like the judgment was given. What's the judgment in this case? The Shvua. And in order to have a halachic system, you know, what's the story always? We say, why is that? What if they're lying? We don't know that they're lying. We also say that we take a shvua. Once you take a shvua, maybe you're also lying. We never know who's really telling the truth. So one approach is to say like this. Since we don't actually know if the edim are telling the truth or not, therefore, what are we going to do? We think the edim are telling the truth, but that's in a case where edim come forward. In a case where first we use a different halachic principle of shvua, and that's already done, then we're going to take that instead of the edim. Because we don't really know who's lying and who's telling the truth. It's like those jokes, right? The riddles. One person's lying, one person's telling the truth. How do you know which one? You don't really know. So that's why, that's another reason as to why potentially Rav says this halacha. Another reason, which I think is a little more far-fetched, is that it's partly a din of kimleh. Because once you lied and then proven wrong by edim, so you're going to have your din in shamayim, basically. And then it's like kimleh, we don't put two punishments on a person. And it's a little more developed than that, but that's the basic concept of kimleh. I think it's strange it would be kimleh and people, you know, wouldn't be mentioned here. Right? Kimleh is when you have two punishments, we give you always the harsher one. Okay, I summarized yesterday, I'm not going to go through it, but the basic mivnev, what we did once we saw Rav, was that first Rav tried to be mitzamtzem and say it's only in the case of milveh, but not pikadon. However, we know that Rav says it's about pikadon, and that's what the pasuk is, so therefore he suggests but then rejects it. Then we brought three questions on Rav. Okay, the middle one we're going to go back to, that was Rav Hamnuna, where he shpi alav chamisha pa'amim, whether it's bifnei beitin or not bifnei beitin, right, you're chayav on each time you swore falsely. Okay, and the reason is because potentially you could have been modeh each time you did the shvua, and you would have been mitchayev, a new chiyuv each time. So then we went off and we said that we had questions on all these. We said, oh, it's the difference between whether you were nishba in beitin or nishba chutz le beitin, and whether you were kafetz or not kafetz, even if it was in beitin. But in the end, Rava had a question, if you remember, we ended with that. Rava had a question, and because of that, he couldn't answer the same questions we answered, that it was chutz le beitin or it was b'toch beitin, but he kafatz before the beitin was mechayev the shvua. And in the end, Rava says, okay, this is the second chart on the page, because of the koshi of Rava, Rava split it up like this. And this I want to get clear before we move on, that anybody who admits, okay, doesn't matter if you were to'ein tanat ganav or to'ein tanat avad, no matter what, you always pay the keren and chomesh, that's obvious, because it says vihit vadeh, right? So you'd have to pay in a case where you came forward, and then you were modeh, and then edim came. So even though, right, even though normally we say if edim come, Rav said you're not chayav to pay, but since you already, right, since you admitted, we're going to be mechayev you, the keren and chomesh, because that's what the pasuk talked about, the keren and chomesh. Then he says, the next pasuk talks about to'ein tanat ganav, right, where then you have to pay the kefel. That's the pasuk. Okay, you can look at the sheet at the very bottom in Shmok Kafbet. these three psukim, okay, ki yitein ish areyehu kesef okelim lishmor, and v'gunav mibeit ha'ish, im imatzei haganav yishalem shnayim, that seems like geneva, but im lo yimatzei haganav, right, and now we're going to say that this is about, well, you didn't find the ganav, because really there is no ganav, v'nikrav balabayit el Elohim im lo shalach yadov melech areyehu, we're going to deal a lot with this pasuk today, you go in front of the judge, and you swear that you didn't do anything wrong, okay, we'll see what this im lo shalach yadov is, we don't know yet, I'll call Dvar Pesha, and then it says, on Chamor, sure, say all these things. I'll call Aveda, and includes Asher Yomar Kihuzeh. We're going to talk about that Kihuzeh also today. Ad Elohim Yavod Dvar Shnehem Asher Yashun Elohim Yishalem Shnaim L'Reihu. If you remember way back when, we saw that this pasuk was talking about a To'en Ta'anak Ganav. Okay, one of the opinions, we're going to get to this today also, was that Pasuk Vav is a regular Geneva case, and Pasuk Zayin and Chet is someone who claims it was a Geneva, but really he was stealing it himself. And what do you see from there? The Pasuk says you pay Kefel. So obviously, you're going to have to pay if you're Toein Tanak Ganav and you swear, and then they find out that you were lying, you're obviously going to have to pay Kefel. So Rav couldn't have said his halacha there. So the only case left is you're Toein Ta'anat Avad, you say it was lost, then you swear, you don't admit, because if you admitted, we already said you would have to pay. And then Adim came, okay, and proved you wrong. Then you would have to. Then you wouldn't have to pay, and that's the halacha he's talking about. Okay, so we're going to pick up from here, two lines from the bottom of Kufav Amud Aleph, or really the last word in the line before. So now the assumption is he's talking not about a case of Hoda'ah, and that's what we're going to question. Anytime he'd admit, even if Aiden come forward, Rav thinks that you would have to pay. So now they say, Hashti umar Rav Hamnuna talmidei de Rav. Rav Hamnuna was a talmid of Rav. V'yadada amar Rav hoda. V'kamotiv hoda. The assumption from Rav Hamnuna's question earlier, because remember, what did he see? Say he brought this question. He makes him swear five times, right? The reason he's chayav each time is because he could potentially be modeh every time. So what do we see here? That he assumed Rav was talking about a case of hoda'ah, because he's bringing a proof relating to hoda'ot. V'kamotiv, and he questioned him based on hoda'ah. V'at amart hoda'ah lo. So the assumption is if Rav Hamnuna was a student, Rav Hamnuna assumed that he was talking about a case where there was a hoda'ah, because he said there's potential to be modeh, right? That must mean he's talking about hoda'ah. Therefore, it must be, if Rav Hamnuna was a student, and he questioned Rav from that, he must have known that Rav really does hold Hoda'ah, and therefore, Rav Hamnuna seems to disagree with Rav. So now they say, Va'adamart Hodeh lo Amarav, period. Okay, that Rav didn't talk about Hoda'ah. So Amar le Rav Acha Saba le Rav Ashi. Rav Hamnuna hachi kakashile. No, you misunderstood Rav Hamnuna's question. This was his question. Okay, now here there's the chart, the next chart on the page. Okay, here's a different understanding of the question that Rav Hamnuna asked. We're now going to take two tracks. One track is, if you're nishba and then Aiden come, you're going to be chayav, right? One track, and that's the one we're going to try to prove, right? That even if you were a modeh, and then, I'm sorry, that only, not if you were a modeh, only if bau Aiden and proved you wrong, we're going to now show that Rav Hamnuna is trying to say that Rav was wrong. Because what did Rav say? Not relating to Hoda'ah at all. Rav said, in Bau Eidim, right, without Hoda'ah, then you'd be Patur. And Rav Hamnuna's question is going to show, in Bau Eidim, you're going to be Chayav. You follow? And that's going to disagree with what Rav said. So right now, we want to read this line, that if Eidim came without a Hoda'ah, okay, without any admitting, if Eidim came, you'd be chayav. And that's going to be Rav Hamnuna's question on Rav from the Braita. We're going to go back to that question and reread it. So how would it work? This source would work if we said, Nishba kiatu Eidim chayav. Okay, so Iyamar bishlema, if you say this, it's going to work out. And then they're going to say, if you say otherwise, it's not going to make any sense. And that's going to be the question on Rav. Nishba kiatu Eidim chayav, right? If you swore and then Eidim came, you'd be chayav. That's why you're mechayev a korban on every subsequent shvua. Why? since potentially you could have been modeh between, now we're going to say it's not that you were modeh, because then that would disprove the whole theory of Rava, that Rav wasn't mechayev in a, the Rav was mechayev in a hodah case, and then there wouldn't even be a question on him. But the point is that since you could potentially be chozer v'hodah, in a case where Adin came, that would be considered a separate claim. In other words, it's only we're now back to this whole potential. It's not that you were actually modeh. It's that since there was a potential between each time you swore to have potentially been modeh, so in the end, when Adim come, they can be mechayev you on each one because each one is viewed independently. But he's not saying that the case was where you were modeh in between. He's just saying there's potential for that. But that's not, right? Obviously, Adim would have to come to be mechayev you, and that's why this braita makes sense, and it disagrees with Rav. But ela iamar ki atu edim patur. But let's say, okay, it'll be easier to understand when you see the process of elimination. In other words, this case wouldn't work. If you were to say, Rav, that when edim come, you're going to be patur, mi ikamidi di ilu ate sade and wasade be patur, va'ana nekum nechayve korban ashvua, ho il viachol achzoro lehodot, hashtemia lo ode. How could it possibly be that if edim come and prove that you did this, right? Or Adim come and testify. Forget proven. We already discussed that we don't know whether they could really prove it or not. But let's say Adim come and testify. You swore five times. Adim come and testify. Are you going to be chayav, according to Rav? No, you're going to be patur. Because once you swear, we don't make you pay. That was Rav's whole chidush. So if that's the case, how could we be mechayev you a korban on each one just because of the potential that maybe you would be chozer mitvadeh when you weren't modeh in the end? Adim came. What was this case? This case was only potentially you were modeh, right? So the point is you swore five times, okay? Then Adim came. How could we possibly be mechayev you now to pay when there was no hoda'ah? If Rav says that when Adim come, without a hoda'ah, you're going to be patur. So how could we possibly make you chayav to pay five times, right? You shouldn't even be chayav one time, according to this. So therefore, since he didn't in the end modeh in this case, it wouldn't make any sense. And therefore, it wouldn't even be a question. It doesn't make any sense. So therefore, it must be that he's not talking about a hoda'ah case. He's talking about a case where Adim came, and then you could say that Rav Hamnuna matches up with Rafa. And that now we have this new understanding, at least it's potentially, that Rav Hamnuna thought this way, Rava thought this way, that really Rav isn't talking about every single case. He's only, right, in a to'ein, what's the classic case we would say? To'ein ta'anat ganav, what would happen? You would end up, you would have to pay after. It's only to'ein ta'anat avad that Rav would say you're patur. Okay? So that's Rav's halacha. Now we're going to move on to another thing. We're now going to see three different dinim of Rabbi Yochanan about a to'ein ta'anat ganav. Okay, so here's the first one. Am Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, am Rabbi Yochanan. Ha-to'ein ta'anat ganav pikadon mishalem tashlumei kefil. Okay, if you're, that's exactly the pasuk that we just saw, right? Your to'ein ta'anat ganav, you pay double. What didn't you talk about in the pasuk? Arba av chamisha. What if you're tavachu machar? Is this classic in Eva that you're also going to be chayav arba av chamisha? Or right, this isn't a classic Neva case because, right, the pikadon came into your hands, beheter. You later turned it into your own, right? You stole it. So you chayev, if you're tovech u'mocher, you chayev arba'a v'chamisha. So what does he say? Tavach u'mochar meshalem arba'a v'chamisha. It is a classic case of Neva. Ho'il v'ganav. Now why? Ho'il v'ganav meshalem tashlumei kefel. B'to'ein ta'anak ganav meshalem tashlumei kefel. Right, we're not going to say transitive property, okay? What's true for one is going to be true for the other. Since a regular ganav pays kefel, and a to'en ta'anat ganav also pays kefel, so ma ganav shu meshalem kefel, if tavach u'machar meshalem tashlumei arba'a v'chamisha, if he slaughters it and sells it, he's going to end up having to pay the quadruple or quintuple chiyuv. Af to'en ta'anat ganav b'pikadon shu meshalem tashlumei kefel, so tavach u'machar meshalem tashlumei arba'a v'chamisha. You follow? Saying, to'ein ta'anat ganav is like a ganav in the sense of kefel, so we'll assume it's like a ganav in the sense of arba'a v'chamisha. So now the Gemara is going to question his logic. But ma'al ganav, there's some difference between them that we would make us say that maybe arba'a v'chamisha doesn't apply to to'ein ta'anat ganav. What is it? Ma'al ganav, shekem shalem tashlumei kefel, shelo b'shvua. Tomar b'to'ein ta'anat ganav, she'em shalem tashlumei kefel, ela b'shvua. If I just say, you come to collect your pikadon, and I say, it's right, I don't have it. And really, I stole it, right? I claim it was stolen from me, right? And really, I stole it. I'm not chayav kefil in that case. I'm only chayav kefil if I swore to it in court. That's what the pasuk said, right? Ad Elohim yavo dvar shnehem, asher shiyun Elohim. You have to go to the court and swear, right? It said in the pasuk before. Where does it say, right? Shvuat Hashem. It's not in this pasuk, but it's clear you have to swear, and only after you swear, dear, are you mishalem kefil. So what do we see? There's a difference. Toein tanak ganav is not the same as a regular ganav. A regular ganav is chayav kefil whether or not he swears he did it. He swears falsely or not.
So toein tanak ganav.
He's not chayav kefil.
Even if he still did it.
Right. He'll have to return the item, but he's not chayav the kefil. The kefil payment is because he swore. Okay? So now. So therefore, they're not comparable. But now they say, no. Ela b'shvua. Amre, here's the answer. No. I can still say it. Why? Because hekeshahi. It's a hekesh between the psukim ve'ei meshivin al hekesha. Now, what's the hekesh? What's a hekesh? Hekesh is when two psukim or two things appear in one pasuk or in juxtaposed psukim, right? Adjacent psukim. So now what do we see here? It's what I showed you before. Pasuk vav, what did we say? Is about a ganav. Pasuk zayin techet is about to'en tanak ganav. So we make a hekesh between the two, just like the kefel. There's kefel and arba ava chamisha in a regular ganeva case. To'en tanak ganav also is going to have kefel and arba ava chamisha. And emesh even al hekesha means we don't ask questions just because they're not totally comparable doesn't mean that we can't learn one from the other. So now this is only going to work, though, again, according to the one who reads those three psukim like that. Okay? Hani chalamanda amar cha beganav cha betoen tanak ganav shapir. That makes sense if you say the pasuk vav is the ganav and pasuk zayin ched is the toen tanak ganav. But as I read the psukim before, it's not so clear from the pshat that that's the case, and there were differing opinions about it. Ela lamanda amar hai imi matzei aganav im lo imatzei travayu b'toein tanak ganav. Some people say this whole thing is toein tanak ganav. Why? Why is it obvious that you can claim that? Because what's pasuk vav? When you give your friend kelim lishmor, it's all about a pikadon. So maybe the whole thing is toein tanak ganav. So ma'i kalameimer, what can you say? So how is there a hakesh? They say amre ganav haganav imi matzei imatzei haganav. It's haganav with hea yidia. So from there, it includes both cases. And they say, that's the hekesh. Okay. Now we're going to have another question on Rabbi Yochanan. Etive Rabbi Chiya bar Abba l'Rabbi Yochanan. So remember what his thing is, that you're going to have to be Mishalem or Baba Chamisha. Here's a bright. Actually, is this the next Mishnah? Yeah, I think it's a Mishnah. On Kufchet, right? It should be the Mishnah there. Maybe it's bright. Okay. So let's read. Hecham shori, where's my shore that I gave you? Nignav, it was stolen from me. That's toein tanak ganav, right? Mashbiachani, I'm going to make you swear. Va'amar, amen, I swear. Va'edim mi'idim oto sha'achlo. And then edim come and say, he ate it. Meshalem tashlume kefel. Okay, now, what can you say here? Well, this is gneva, this isn't tavachu machar. But what do they say? Of course it is, because v'ha'ha chadachi I afshar l'kazayi basar b'lo shchita. V'katane meshalem tashlume kefel, which seems to imply what? Tashlume kefel in tashlume arba'a chamisha lo. It seems to imply you don't pay arba'a chamisha. And even though it didn't say it in the case, clearly he must have slaughtered it, right? And if he slaughters it and eats it himself, that's like tavachu machar.
Isn't that 4 or 5?
Exactly. So why isn't he paying 4 or 5? What does this prove? Because it's to'en tanak ganav. It's not real geneva, and that disagrees with what Rabbi Yochanan's halacha is. Follow, Rabbi Yochanan said, to'en tanak ganav, you pay arba'a chamisha, right? And here's a case of to'en tanak ganav, and you don't pay, right? Rabbi Yochanan said you pay, and I don't remember whether it's Mishnah or Brita says you don't pay. Okay, now how do they know you don't pay? Because they're assuming if you ate it, you must have been tovech, you must have slaughtered it. So now they're going to give all different options. Rabbi Yochanan's going to answer one way, then they're going to question him, well, you could have answered this way, you could have answered that way.
I assume that whenever it says tashlumei kefil, it also means and the extension of it.
I don't think so, right. You could assume that. It's a possibility. It could be, right. It could be it was simplified and it just said kefil and it meant also Rabbi Chamisha, but I think it would specify. Especially since this was a debatable point. But maybe it was only debatable later. It's possible, right? Because this is from the Tanaim, and that was Amoraim we're debating. Maybe it was clear to the Tanaim. It's definitely possible. So what do they answer? Lo, hacha b'mayis kinan shachlo nivela. Right, this guy's a robber. Maybe he also eats nivela. Maybe he never slaughtered it. In order to be chayev tavachu machar, you actually have to slaughter it. Okay, maybe it was just nivela. What?
Not just kill it.
Right, not just kill it. You have to slaughter it. Now we're going to get into, well, do you have to slaughter it purely halachically? Not purely halachically. Okay, so listen. Belishnei, now they're going to question Rabbi Yochanan. Why don't you answer a better answer or another answer? Keep going, right? Let's not assume the guy's a total shakets, right? Like maybe he's going to, right? Kigon shachalo treifa. Maybe he ate it, it was a treifa. It was a sick animal that was going to die anyway within 12 months. That kind of animal you can't shacht and eat. But he did an actual halachic shchita. And then they answer no, because that's Kerabi Meir. Ta'amar shchita she'en aruya, shma shchita. Right? Sorry, then you could have answered it, right? Treifa. Right, you could have said like Rabbi Meir. That it's, right, 1 second. No, to pater bashochit. Right, Rabbi Shimon is poter. Right, it's, one, sorry, I'm trying to remember if this is a rejection of the Rabbi Meir is, second.
Well, Rabbi Meir says that treifa is considered shchita.
Yeah, as long as
it would be a good shchita, but then if it was a good shchita, wouldn't he be mechayev?
4 or 5.
Right.
He is mechayev 4 or 5. Doesn't matter how you...
Right. That's why he couldn't answer this terutz, because then he would have been... Right. I just got confused with the logic. Right. He would have been chayav arba b'chamisha, and therefore he couldn't answer that question. V'lishne, because Rabbi Shimon disagrees. Now, the hava mina was maybe he ate a trefa, like Rabbi Shimon, who holds if you ate a trefa, well, it wouldn't be considered shchita, and that's why he's patur. V'lishne ben pekua, who also, right, there's a machloket about a ben pekua. What's a ben pekua? An animal that you slaughter the mother and then the fetus comes out. In other words, the baby is born after the mother shechted. Is that considered shechted or not? So why don't you say it was in that case where there wasn't a shechita? They say, oh no, okay, Rabbi Meir, da'amar, ben pekua ta'un shechita, right? Rabbi Meir holds that it needs shechita and therefore he couldn't answer that because then again he would have been mechayev arba b'chamisha. V'lishnei le'kigon shama b'din v'amru le'say ten lo. If the guy steals it, right, it's toen tanakanav, then the court convicts him and he has to pay it. So then what happens? If they say tenlo, go give it to him, and they give a psak, what's going to happen? At that point, it's no longer connected with the previous geneva. Now you just owe him. You understand? So if you slaughter that animal at that point, you're not chayav arba b'chamisha. Taham arava, say tenlo, because here we have the halacha. Rava says, if the court said say tenlo and they made a psaktin, tavachu machar patur, you're no longer chayav in tvichu machira. My taima, kevan de paske lemilte, v'tavachu machar have gazlan, v'gazlan lo mashalem tashlumei arba b'chamisha. Once they say you're chayav, you now, what's a ganav? A ganav steals secretly. A gazlan steals in front of his face. Now kol od you haven't paid, you're basically a gazlan because you're stealing it by not having paid him back. So there's no angad a gazlan, there's no tashlumei arba b'chamisha. But if they say, they don't say tenlo, go out and give it to him, but they say chayav atali tenlo, which is less of a psach. They say, well, you're supposed to give it to him. Okay, but it's not as clear cut. V'tabachu machar chayav, my taima, why are you chayav in this case, Arba b'chamisha? Because kol kama delo psika le'milta akate ganavu. Until they make a clear cut psach, you're still considered in the terminology a ganav. So now they're basically asking, why didn't you answer that question, that he was convicted in court? So Amre, so they answered like this. V'litamech, according to your logic, there could have been another question against him. And now I'm going to answer them both in one way, they're going to say. Lishnei le b'shutaf shetavach shalom idat chavero. Let's say you stole this animal. Now you're b'shutafut with someone about this animal you stole, and he's the one who shechs it and not you. Then you wouldn't be chayav arba b'chamisha, and then you ate it. Ella, but why didn't it suggest that one? Because chadim itreu tlat nakid. In other words, he took one out of two or three possible answers. It's not that he answered this and there weren't other possible answers. He just answered one out of a bunch of possible answers. Okay, next halacha of Rabbi Yochanan. That was the first one. Va'am Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, am Rabbi Yochanan, ha-to'en tanakana ba'aveda, meshalem tashlume kefel. Okay, if you're to'en tanakana when it comes to an aveda, not just in a gneva, but also in a veda, you have to pay kefel. How do we know this? Obvious from the pasuk, my taima. Dichtiv al kol aveda asher yomar. Okay, in other words, you find a lost item of someone you need to return to. Okay, it's got his name on it. You find it. You don't return it. And then when they come and say, hey, it's in your house, you say, oh, you know, it was stolen from me. Okay, you say, yeah, I did take it, but it was stolen from me. I don't have it anymore. Okay, so now, where do we learn that from? So in there, you have to pay kefil, because it says, Okol HaVeda Asher Yomar. Etivei Rabbi Abba Bar Mama LeRabbi Chiya Bar Abba. So now we ask a question on Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, who brought this in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. What does it say? We're now comparing Aveda to Geneva, basically, right? Ki Yitain Ish. What does it say in that pasuk? Another term it says there is Ki Yitain Ish El Re'ehu. What do you see here? At the Netina point, it's an Ish. Follow? So where are they going to go with this? Ein Netinat Katan Klum. If you got this pikadon from someone who is a katan, then this whole halacha doesn't apply to you. You don't have to pay the kefa. Ve'ein li ela shenat no kashu katan. So this only seems to imply if he gave it to you when he was katan. Utva'o kashu katan. And, right, what happens to a katan? He eventually gets to be a gadol. So the assumption here is when he, if ki yitain ish al re'ehu, ish has to be the nitina and the, and when he claims, you know, he comes to court, kashu katan, you're going to be patur. But what about a case like this and in between? Because obviously, if he's a katan when he first takes the pikadon, he's a katan when he claims he stole it, he's going to be patur. But what about a case of nitano kashu katan utuvao kashu gadol minayin? How do you know that if you gave it to him when he's a katan, but you were tovea oto to court, and said, hey, you still have my item, give it back to me, and he claims, oh, it was stolen from me, I don't have it anymore, how do you know you're going to be patur? Talmud lamar, ad elohim yavo dvar shnehem. Ad jitein nitina utvi'a shavin ke'echad. You're only going to be chayav because the nitina and tvi'a have to be together. At the same, in other words, the same equal status. V'im ita, now what's the comparison to aveda? Taveina meka aveda. What does this mean? What's clear from this pasuk is the nitina is important, right? The nitina is to be done when he's a katan, when he's a gadol. In an aveda, there is no nitina, right? An aveda is somebody finds it. How did it get to his hands? By finding it, not with any real nitina. So therefore, if we're going to compare it to here, it would seem to imply that if it comes to his hands by aveda, since the nitina wasn't given to him like by a gadol, so therefore, he should be patur also. So Amarle, he shouldn't be chayav kefil. So that's the question on him. So Amarle, hacha b'mayaskinan, kigon sha'achlo kishu katan, Kigon sha'achlo kishu katan. So now, what are we talking about? There's all different stages, right? There's nitina. Until now we've discussed nitina, you give it to him, right? And then there's tvi'ah, okay? But now we're going to learn that there's an in-between stage, right? So according to the Braita, you needed him to be a gadol both in the nitina and in the tvi'a. Now, what was the whole problem? Aveda, shat nitina is totally irrelevant, right? There is no shat nitina. It doesn't come to his hands from any other person. So that was the question here. But now what do they say? Maybe, kishach lok shu katan. Maybe what they're saying is it's not the nitina when he was a katan, maybe, but that would be okay. As long as what has to happen when he eats it or destroys the item or does whatever he does with it, okay? That happened when he was katan, and that's why, like the masa avera. Remember, when's the masa avera here? When he actually does something to the item. Avak shu gadol. So then according to this, my hachinami de mishalem ihachi. So then according to this, what are you assuming? That if he's a gadol when he eats it, right? But he was a katan, ashat netina. What are we assuming? We just said that you'd be chayav. As long as at the stage of achila, he'd be a gadol, which is basically the same stage by an aveda, right? Where he basically takes this to be his own and says, I'm not returning it. So now, what are you assuming then? In that case, you'd have to pay the kefil. Ihachi, but the braita makes no sense. What did we say in this braita? Aditane ajite nitina utvi'a shavin ke'achad. Right? It says the nitina, it doesn't say the achila. If what you were saying is true as your answer, it should have said litni ajite achila utvi'a shavin ke'achad. And therefore, your possible answer to this braita doesn't make any sense. So what is the answer in our classic way? Amarle, tnei, oh, we should reread the braita. The braita, there was a mistake in it, should say ajite achila utvi'a shavin ke'achad. Okay, one possible answer. Rav Ashi has a better answer because you have to start changing words for Rav Ashi's answer. Rav Ashi amar, lo dame aveda, lo dame, sorry. They're not similar. In other words, you're comparing apples and oranges. The sha'at netina for pikadam is not the same as the sha'ah that the guy takes the aveda. Why? Aveda ka'ache mikoch ben dat. V'ha lo ache... lo dame aveda. Aveda is not similar to this. Why? Because this, the pikadon, is ka'ate mikoch ben dat. A person gives it to him, right? But ha lo ate mikoch ben dat. There is no transfer of ownership, right? Nobody passes over an item in an aveda case. So you're comparing apples and oranges. The sha'at netina of a pikadon is a critical moment. And therefore, you need to be a ben dat for it. But the aveda is not the same thing, right? The aveda, clearly the sha'at netina is not important because there is no person there to give it to him. He's not getting it from another person. And the therefore, you can't compare the two.
So they're saying that the minor is not mentally competent enough, not considered mentally competent when he gives this article to be watched.
No, here it's talking about when he gets the article to watch. Right? The katam we were talking about...
He's just not legally responsible.
The person of the minor gave...
Right, but at the end, right, the answer they're saying that it comes from someone who's a ben dat. So therefore they're saying...
The minor is not a ben dat.
Oh, right, that the pikadon didn't belong to a ben dat, but in the beginning we were talking about...
Well, the Vedic...
Oh, sorry. You're right. I messed up. Okay, sorry. Ki yitain ish, right. The ish is the person who's giving it. I'm sorry. I got confused. Right. It's the person, right, because we switch, because then the achila would be the person who's taking... Right, that's why. So, right, they're saying the nitina of a katan, of him giving the pikadon, is not the same as an aveda, which was given by nobody, because an aveda is not supposed to be given by anybody. So, you can't compare the two. Yeah. Okay. V'amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Third halacha. Hato'en tanaka na b'pikadon, eno chayav ad shiachpor b'miktzat v'yodeh b'miktzat. Now we're going to get to, we talked about that there's all sorts of cases where you chayav a shvua. Classic case where chayav a shvua is mode b'miktzat hatana. That means... The classic case of modeh b'miktzat is a halva'a. I come and say, you owe me 100 shekel, and you say, I only owe you 50. You say, it's true. You know, either I paid you back 50, or I only took a loan for 50. That's called modeh b'miktzat. But, and he's kofir b'miktzat, where he says, I only owe you 50, but I don't owe you another 50. So now they're going to say that when we talked about a shvua, this is very interesting. Until now we've said, to'en tanaka na b'pikadon, we assume he's just denying the whole thing. Comes Rabbi Yochanan, he says it only works when you're denying part of the claim, not the whole claim. Okay? Like a classic case of modeh b'miktzat. In other words, since we know, okay, now he's going to say even more so where he gets this from. My taima, where do we learn the whole halacha of modeh b'miktzat from? Our pasuk of to'en tanakanav. Okay, I told you we get to this later. My taima damar kra ki hu zeh. Okay? Those words, what does it mean? I'll call it v'dashar yomar ki hu zeh. Ki hu zeh means it's this but not something else. That's how they darshan it. Ki hu zeh means, yeah, well, it's true I owe you this, but I don't owe you everything. That's the way they're assuming ki hu zeh. And what do they say? That pasuk of ki hu zeh, where does it appear? In the middle of to'en tanakanav. So therefore, what are we going to say? It's true we've been talking about the yavtek shvua and to'en tanakanav, but only in a case where you deny part of the claim and you admit part of the claim. For example, someone says, I gave you a bunch of things to watch, and you say, oh no, half of them I already gave back to you, and the other half, you know, I owe you, you're right. Okay, that's the case. Or he says, you only gave me half the items that you mentioned. And obviously, it doesn't have to be half. Right, modeh b'miktzat doesn't mean 50-50, it just means part yes, part no. So now they're going to say, but wait, not everybody agrees with him. Upligat Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef, da'am Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef, he disagrees. What does he say? Eruv parshiot katuv kan. There's a mix-up, okay, what's it? The psukim appear, these words appear in the wrong place. Okay, there's a very strange parshanut.
Parshiot meaning in the psukim.
In the words ki hu zeh really don't belong here. They belong, okay, now where are we? We're in Shmo Perakav Bet Pasuk Zayin, Pasuk Chet. They don't appear in that pasuk. They appear in Pasuk Kaf. It's here, I brought it on the sheet. Okay, they appear in Shmot Kaf Dalet. It's the middle of the second side of the page. Okay, that's what we're up to here. If you want to follow to see what we're up to, so the second part of the second half of the second page, Shmot Perek Kaf Dalet, Perek Kaf Bet, same Perek Pasuk Kaf Dalet. Now, if you look in the context, there's a whole bunch of other things in between. Okay, im kesef talvet ami et ani imach lo tia lo kinoshe lo tisimun alav neshach, and then it talks about how you have to return it, etc. So, it's talking about a loan. And that's what they're referring to. Moda b'miktzad, and that's what we know, the classic case of moda b'miktzad, is in a loan and not in Tomein Tanach Kanav. So this is the dissenting opinion, right? The guy who disagrees with Rabbi Yochanan. And he says, really belongs by Havan. Now he's going to obviously have to prove this because it really doesn't match Persian, right? Persianut-wise, it really makes no sense. But he's going to say it makes logical sense, right? Now, I think what's going on here a lot in these psukim, and we started with it today with Rav's opinion, is, are these things zirara katuv, right? In other words, we don't really understand rhyme or reason. It's just the pasuk says it, and therefore we have to go with it. Or, right, last year, that was the whole thing of Rav. He gets it from the pasuk, because it said, going back to Rav, I have to... he said because the context was pikadon there, and then it was I was just forgetting. That's his pasuk, right? Once it says it, that means lo yishalem gzerat hakatuv. But when really the logic contradicts what the psukim say. Right? So now the other opinion is going to say, wait a minute, it makes no sense. What's the whole concept of moda b'miktzad? Now we're going to explain, and we've learned this before. V'chiktiv ki uzeh, okay, rupashio katuv kam, v'chiktiv ki uzeh, amilveh hu dichtiv, it was talking about loans, and has nothing to do with pikadon. So now, why? U'mayishna milveh, kidurabba, why is milveh different? Because it's like Rabba's explanation. Da'ama Rabba, mipnei ma'amra Torah moda b'miktzad atana yishava. Okay, now we're going to have two things. We're going to start with like this. There's a chazakah. Remember what a chazakah is? There's an assumption. We work on basic, this is like if you learn economics, there's basic assumptions about people's behavior. Okay? That's what all economics is based on, certain assumptions of the way people are going to, their buying patterns, their selling patterns, etc. There are preferences. So same thing here. We work with preferences. The assumption is that ein adam me'iz panav b'fnei ba'al chovo. When you have a milva case, it's different from a pikadon. A pikadon, the bala pikadon didn't do anything for the shomer. The shomer is the one who's doing something to help out the bala pikadon. In a milva, it's the opposite. The guy who borrowed the money got a favor from the malva who lent him the money. So he got some sort of benefit from him. The malva did him a favor. Now, if someone does you a favor, are you going to spit in their face and say, I don't know what you're talking about. You never loan me money? Nobody would have the chutzpah to do that. So therefore, what are we assuming? Really, he's telling the truth, right? What's the assumption? If we're going to let you take a shvua, it's because we assume you're telling the truth. We just need a shvua to substantiate the fact that you're telling the truth. So now, if you're moda b'miktzad, so what happens? We assume chazakayin adami is panav b'nei bal chavo, and therefore what? Therefore, you didn't deny the whole claim. Because if you wanted to deny the whole claim, right, you wouldn't have the guts to do that. V'hai... Really, though, what did you want to do? Bechule ba'u d'nichperei. V'hai d'lot, right? You really wanted to deny everything. You didn't really want to pay back this money. But the reason you didn't do that is, v'hai d'lot kafre mishum de'en adame is panav. U'bekule ba'i d'lot dele. So now, once we say an adame is panav, so what do we assume then? If you're not going to lie to the guy, well, then you're not going to lie to him at all. And really, you wanted to admit that you borrowed everything and didn't pay anything back. But what prevented you from saying the whole truth? This is going to go back to something we learned, I think, 2 days ago. Savar, imodina le bekule, tavali bekule, ishtemit li mia hashta, adahavale zuze uparana. If I admit the whole thing, what's going to happen? He's going to make me pay up the whole thing right now. So I'm not going to admit the whole thing because I don't have all the money. I'll push him off a little bit. I'll say, yeah, I owe you 50. I'll pay you the 50 now. I claim I don't owe you anymore, right? But therefore, what am I really trying to do? I'm trying to push up. Eventually, I'll admit that I owed you the money and I'll pay you the other 50. And therefore, what does the halacha say? In that case, hilkach rama rachmana shvua ilave, ki hechi delo dele bekule. In other words, then we want you really to admit the whole truth right now, because that's, right? We assume, the assumption is like this. If you admitted half, the assumption is you really owe the whole thing. You're just trying to push the guy off. And if you say you owe nothing, the assumption is you might be actually telling the truth because you wouldn't have the chutzpah to say nothing when you really owed something. So that's why Shvuah Moda Miksat is Gabi Milva. The Gabi Milva Huti Kalamem Rahi. Aval Gabi Pikadom, Meiz Umeiz. By a Pikadom, the Baal Pikadom didn't do him any favor. So he would have no reason to not lie to him, and that he'd be willing to lie. And therefore, we don't, right, we make him Chayav. even chayav shvua, even if he denies the entire claim, because denying the claim, right, doesn't necessarily mean he's telling the truth, and therefore we're going to make him swear to prove that he's actually really telling the truth. Okay, that's the logic. Now, just to review, we have Rabbi Yochanan, who said you have to have kofer b'miksa and moda b'miksa in order to be chayav shvua when it comes to a pikadon case, which I'm going to now term a different word, right? Pikadon is the same as shomrim, because now we're going to see the same terminology about shomrim. Then we saw this disagreeing opinion who says, no, any kind of claim, even if you deny the whole thing by pikadon, you're going to have to take a shvua. Tani Rami Brachama Arba'a Shomrim Tzrichim Kfira B'Miktza V'Hoda'a B'Miktza Ve'Eluhen Shomrichinam V'Shol Nosei Sachar V'Socher. He's going to, now seemingly he agrees with Rabbi Yochanan, right? Because what does he say? The four Shomrim need Kfira B'Miktza V'Hoda'a B'Miktza. Okay, there's a bit of a difference of opinion here about whether there's actually a debate between him and Rabbi Yochanan. They even disagree. Rabbi Yochanan might be saying that you're only, remember what was Rabbi Yochanan's, all his halachas were about? Are you chayav the kefel or not? So some people say that what Rabbi Yochanan means is you're chayav shvua no matter what, but if you're found out to be lying, you only have to pay the kefel if it was a case of moda b'miktza hata'ana. In other words, he's focusing on, the pasuk says, ki hu zeh, yavo dvar shnehem, and then yishalem shnayim. So what does he say? The case where you're chayav kefel is only going to be in a case where you're moda b'miktza and kofer b'miktza, but you still need to, no matter what, you need to swear. Whether you, in other words, classic case where he wasn't lying, he'll have to swear. Okay, the chayav kefel is only, is there. But now, according to Rami Barhama, so some people think that, you follow, there's two different ways to understand Rabbi Yochanan. Are you never chayav shvua unless you're moda b'miktza and kofer b'miktza in a shomer case? Or you always chayav a shvua, however, you're not chayav kefel for a shvua unless you're moda b'miktza and kofer b'miktza. Whereas Rami Barhama is saying they, in order to be chayav a shvua, he for sure thinks you need kfira b'miktza and hoda'a b'miktza. Okay, now, Amar Rav, my time at Rami Barhama, where does he get this from? So shomer chinam behediktiv be, it says explicitly in the pasuk, ki hu zeh. The ki hu zeh pasuk comes by a shomer chinam. Shomer sachar, yalef netina b'shomer chinam. The word ki tain, right, and it appears also by the shomer sachar. So they say, netina, the same word is used, we're going to make a gzera shava. So since it's true for shomer chinam, we're going to apply it also to shomer sachar, this ki hu zeh. Shoel, it says, v'chi yish'al, vav mosif al inyan rishon. The vi connects it to the previous parsha and says, whatever was true for that is going to be true also for this. And socher, if you remember, there was a machloket about a socher. How do we treat a socher? I don't know if you remember all this, but when we learn the psukim about the shomrim, we'll see this more when we get to Bava Metzia, but that there's the psukim talk about a shomer chinam, a shomer sachar, and a shoel. It doesn't talk about a socher. And there's a machloket. Is the socher like a shomer chinam, or is he like a shomer sachar? Now, either which way, in the machloket, right, what do we see? If he's like a shomer chinam, so ki yuzeh appears by shomer chinam. If he's like a shomer sachar, we learned nitina to mi shomer chinam to shomer sachar. So either which way, the same halacha is going to apply. So socher, ilaman damark shomer sachar, hainu shomer sachar. Ilaman damark shomer chinam, hainu shomer chinam. Okay. Next halacha. V'amar Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef. Wait one second. This is going to be... Right, this is another din about the to'ein ta'anak anav in kefel. Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef, ha-to'ein ta'anak anav v'pikadon eino chayav ad shishlach bo yad. This was another part of the pasuk I said we get back. What does the pasuk say? Pasuk Zayin. Im lo yimatzeh ganav, so b'nikra balabayit el Elohim, he goes to the court to swear. Elohim in the Torah often means to the court. Im lo shalach yado b'melech ha-re'ehu. Now what does it mean l'shloch yad? You have a pikadon, you steal it. But let's say you use it and destroy it or do something to it, do something wrong to the object, and then you're embarrassed about it, right? So you don't want to say, so you just claim, oh, it was stolen from me. Right? That's not exactly the same as stealing it, because here you did something to the item. Okay, you misused it. So, when we talked about to'en tanaka ganav pikadon, you're eino chayav ad shishlach bo yad. You're not chayav until you actually used the item for, right, in some way. Okay, so now my time, because what does it say? B'nikrav balabayit el Elohim im lo shalach yado b'melech ha-re'eyu. What does it sound like? Now we're going to read this pasuk in one way. Now what does it mean? You go to court and what do you say? I wasn't I didn't misuse this item. So if you didn't misuse this item, what's the assumption? Michlal di ishalach beyad mechayev, right? What does it sound like? You're mechayev only if you were sholech boyad. And what exactly the definition of sholech boyad is a little confusing, right? So just by stealing it, maybe that's shlichat yad. But they're saying, no, it needs to be more than that. Okay? So now they're going to say, lememra de bishalach bayad askinan, okay? The assumption is that this is talking about that you did some sort of shlichut yad. Okay? That's the assumption here. Okay, now we're going to bring a different opinion. Amale Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, hachi amar Rabbi Yochanan, okay? A descending opinion now, Rabbi Yochanan. Beomedet al avusashanu. Okay, now we're talking about, okay, that this is when he's not actually using the item, but the animal was standing by the trench, and he decided to keep it for himself, and he lied about it, okay? And there was no shlichut yad. So Amar la Rabbi Zeira la Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. Now we want to understand Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. Dafka bo'medet al avusak amar, aval shalach. Is he trying to say that if there is shlichut yad, then you're not chayav? In other words, what happened here? The first guy said, Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef said, you're only chayav kefel if there's shlichut yad. Okay? And Rabbi Yochanan said, you're chayav kefel if he's omed al avusa. Okay? Meaning there's no shlichut yad. Follow? So now, is he disagreeing entirely and saying, if there is shlichut yad, you don't actually pay the kefel, which we'll see the logic of that in a minute? Or is he saying, even if he's omed al alavuso, right? Even if he's standing by the trench and there's no shlichut yad. In other words, shlichut yad, you be chayav kefel, and even if there's no shlichut yad. So now we're going to hear the logic. My time, huh? Okay, so lav mishum de. Oh, sorry, I skipped. So is it that dafka b'omed alavusak hamar v'shalach bayad? What would happen in shlichut yad? Now, if you start using this item, what's going to happen? It's konen. Remember, it's like shinoi. All these things change the status. Now, if you, I took your pikadon you gave me, I start using it for my own purposes, and I, let's say I destroy it, or I do something wrong to it, or something happens to it, once it becomes mine, I'm kone. At that point, shvua lo mahanya be klum. There's no relevance to the shvua because I'm no longer kofer by your item, it belongs to me. I owe you the money for the item, like a classic case of gzela. But there's no kefel. You follow? Because I've acquired the item. O Dilma, or is he saying, Afilu omedet alavusaka amar? So now he's going to answer, and we'll finish with this. Amar le lo zu shamati. I didn't hear an answer exactly directly to this, but kayotze ba shamati, but I heard something similar, which I think is the answer. To Amar Biyasi, Amar Biyochanan, Hatoen ta'anat avad, vinishba. V'chazar v'ta'an ta'anat gana vinishba. If you first claim it was lost, and then Edim come, I'm sorry, and then you swore, and then you said, oh, really, that wasn't true. It was stolen. It wasn't lost from me, it was stolen. And then you swore about that. Ubao edim, you're patur. My taima, now why are you patur in this case? Lav mishum de kanab shvua rishona. Is it not because you acquired it from the first shvua? Meaning, as soon as you swore what happened, you were kone the item, and once you're kone the item, there's no kefel, right? And therefore, you're patur from the kefel. Okay? And therefore, what are they assuming? That therefore, what will we say? If shalach bo yad, you're actually konan. You don't have to pay kefel anymore. You follow the logic? That they're both the same thing, basically. Why would you be patur in the case where you took two, first you said to'en tanat avad, then you swore, then you to'en tanat kanav, you swore? Because you acquired the item by doing the shvua. That's like the original halacha, v'lakach ba'ala v'lo yishalem. And therefore, you basically acquire the item. And therefore, you don't have to pay the kefel. So Amar Lei, lo, that's not the reason why you're putter in that case. Ho il v'yatsa yidei ba'alim b'shvu'a rishona. The reason is not because you were kone the item. There's no kinyan here. That's not why. It's because this lakach ba'ala v'lo yishalem. After the first shvu'a, you already have no chiyuv klape the owner anymore. Once you take that shvu'a, you're putter from him. Like, you guys have no relationship anymore. So if you later to'en ta'anak anav, that's a useless shvua. You've basically done nothing by swearing. Sometimes you can take a shvua on, right? If you take a shvua on something you already took a shvua on, it's an irrelevant shvua. Last time we saw, right, that you can take five shvua in order, right? But here they're saying, that's a different kind of case. Here they're saying, if you're Toen Tanat Avad, and then later Toen Tanat Ganav, you're already exempted yourself from a relationship with the owner after you said it was Avad, and therefore the second Shavuah is irrelevant, and that's why you don't pay the Kefel there. And Itmar Nami, and here's a further proof, that this is really what Rabbi Yochanan holds, because it was said in the name of Rabbi Avin, I'm Rabbi Avin, I'm Rabbi Ila, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, HaToen Tanat Avidah V'Pikadon V'Nishba, וחזר וטען טענה כדיבה ונשבע, ובאו עדים פטור, הועיל ויצא ידי בעלים בשבועה ראשונה. Okay, and that's his, they're saying not only that, but Rabbi Yochanan himself said it, and that proves that that must be what Rabbi Yochanan holds here. Okay, in other words, not that Rabbi Yochanan holds here, but that you can't learn from that case to this case about Rabbi Yochanan, because that case didn't prove anything about the shvua being konen. Okay, and therefore I guess the assumption would be that he meant afilu alavusa, and even if you shalech bo yad, you still have to pay the kefil. Okay, so that's a whole thing about shlichu yad. We'll get into more of the stuff tomorrow. Tomorrow we see stuff with Rosh Hashanah. Connect back to what he said a few dapim ago.